roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty on a Monday. It is the 1st of February, and we're ready to go. There were no major events this past weekend, not to disrespect KSW. Let's see here. That was KSW, LFA, I believe. No, not LFA. LFA, okay, yeah. It was three of them. I had to look at them because of the rankings. They are regional promotions, and the regional promotions that have obviously covered more than a region. Especially LFA. There was one more ex-MMA where James Vick fought. Good friend of the show, took a hard loss. So, yeah, no disrespect to those shows, but usually what we need is the UFC, Bellator. I think PFL, being on ESPN, is definitely deserving of being lumped in there as well. They give away $1 million, man. Kind of missed that last year. Can't believe a whole year went with no PFL now that I think about it. And then, of course, one championship. They do well. They do very well in Asia. And they got some big stuff going on between the Turner Network, their one app, and some big shows that are going to blow up here in early 2021. But anyway, look at me. That was a little repair job because I really didn't want to insult those promotions that that took place this past week. KSW had a brawl because I don't know if you caught it. They had a brawl after one of their fights. LFA is getting ready to celebrate 100, and then XMMA's, like I say, they've been putting on some shows now. So anyway, there is a major show this weekend. I counted. There's like 12 ranked fights in the upcoming UFC Fight Night card. So we'll definitely talk a little bit about that. We'll cover some of the latest news. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. It is Monday, February 1st.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
Here we go. All right. First things first, goes. We had an interview exclusive on MMA Junkie with Dustin Poirier, who defeated Conor McGregor 8 days ago at UFC 257. Hey, goes, let me tell you something behind the scenes. Is there any way you can close the door of the room that you're in? Sure. Because when I'm talking, I can hear myself coming all the way down the stairs like on a 1 second delay, and it trips me out just a little bit. So those of you that don't know, Goz and I are brothers. I'm downstairs. He's upstairs. And I picked up on this like a few shows ago. And I don't know why I haven't said anything, because I just thought I always just fight through it. We've had some of the worst echoes in our SiriusXM run with feedback and things like that. And you just power through it. Echoes, delays, producers talking to you. But I thought, all I got to do is ask the guy to just close the door, and I'd be free of this one. So here we are. But Dustin Poirier was exclusive to Junkie. He did an interview with Mike Vaughn. And goes, I couldn't believe when he said, if they actually want Chandler and Oliveira to fight, I'll just sit back and watch. I thought, what? Yeah. I could have sworn you said what you want more than anything and that's probably what stopped him from being a retired fighter, maybe, or someone who considers it, is the undisputed gold. He said it. Those were the words that came out of his mouth during the post-fight press conference. He was an interim champ, but he wants that undisputed belt. That's why he calls himself the uncrowned champion. That and getting paid. I got a feeling, goes, that getting paid is number one, not the undisputed belt. Because if they offer you Chandler for the belt, well, there you go. There's the tick on that box, right? So is it going to be the stubbornness of Chandler hasn't put in the work that I have, so therefore I'm not going to fight him, or they won't pay him? I mean, I don't know. Or does he feel like there might be a McGregor fight that pays him more, or a Diaz fight that pays him more, that neither one would probably be for a belt, despite what John Kavanaugh says? What is going on here?
I think there's, later on in that interview, he said something, and it just reminds me a lot of what Habib said. Granted, money's probably a big deal. I would imagine that. I think he said that before in the past. But in this particular one, it just seemed like it was more about motivation. Like, he just seemed a little, I don't know if it's because it just happened, he's probably getting the same questions or what, but he just seemed not really happy with what he's doing. You know, like, I'm not saying what he's accomplished or the sport, just everything else that comes along with it. And I think when people ask him those questions, he seems like he just wants to be challenged in the fight, like something to keep him motivated. But I would be shocked if he actually let that happen. I don't think he would. I don't think the UFC would either.
The belt should be the motivation. And once you acquire the belt, then when you defend, you get money because you get the pay-per-view points. All the champions get the pay-per-view points. So there's two of them right there. The legacy's built. Dustin, in my opinion, is probably a Hall of Famer. And the respect, I mean, from top to bottom, dude, Miocic was giving him a shout-out. The greatest heavyweight ever. All the way down to his homies in the WEC, you know, all the way down to the flyweights. Everyone has a ton of respect for Dustin Poirier. He did it the right way. He was never in any form of a shtick. He was himself, organic. This is me. And then the stuff that he's done outside of the Octagon, very impressive. The Good Fight Foundation receiving at least $500,000 courtesy of McGregor. And then whatever Poirier is able to raise through his kit and then through, you know, however much he's able to raise as well. Remember when he bought all kinds of free meals for people, for those people that were watching his fight in Louisiana as well?
Yeah.
I mean, he just gives back in many different ways. He's an incredible human being. What you don't want to do, though, at this point is fumble this point of the career, which is very, very important to him, by having this stance. I recall Cub Swanson with like a 4 or 5 fight win streak. I think he had just won a fight in Nashville. It may have even been the Artem fight. And somebody, Anik, Stan, or Cormier, somebody said, "What's next, man? Is now the time? You know, tell Dana what you want," something like that. And he goes, "I don't beg." And I was like, And now I wasn't telling him to get on his knees and beg, "Dana, come into the Octagon. I got something I want to ask you." And then Dana gets in there and he pulls a GSP and gets on his knees and beg. No, you know, I'm not saying all that, but I don't know. What if that was maybe, what if whatever he said caught some sort of fire, got the attention of the champ at the time, who probably was Aldo, and it put him, you know, at the top of that list. They fought before, so maybe Aldo would think, "I already beat this kid." Who knows? But you just never know, you know? And maybe it didn't sit well with the UFC. I don't know. I mean, he didn't say anything that was too offensive, but that was, I think the UFC wants you to shine in moments like that, not drop the ball. And it didn't go his way, you know? He didn't get the next title shot. So, look, man, these promoters pimp these guys and gals out for years. You know, I've always said they're the pimps and the fighters are the hookers. But there's a couple of opportunities when you get some leverage, or when you can do the effing. You know what I mean? And you can call the shots or whatever. And Poirier's in that position to some extent, you know. And what's the difference between fighting Oliveira, and if you beat him, who do you have to probably defend against? Chandler. then fighting Chandler, and if you defend against him, who you probably have to fight? Oliveira, you know? I mean, unless one of them takes a fight, which they might, because Oliveira, he fought 2 months ago or a month and a half ago. Chandler just fought. I don't know. You got to line them up anyway. So Poirier's not protecting an undefeated record. He's not playing the politics game. He's not making anybody, you know. Well, I guess he is a little bit with Chandler, but I don't know, man. And I'm not saying fight in 2 months or 3 months. Rest up. Heal that brain. Do your thing, you know, but tick those boxes.
I was part of this interview in the background. I was actually recording it, and obviously there'll be more stories coming out from the interview, but one question that was asked that's been asked to him a lot so far is the fact that this fight wasn't for a title. And Mike had asked him, well, what if they just almost said, like, our bad, you know, we're just going to anoint you the champion. You know, let's say if Habib were to say, I'm out, I'm done, which he's already said, but I started thinking, how do you think Dustin would take that? So now he can say he's the undisputed champion, but he didn't really go through that process of it being billed as the fight for the undisputed and him getting that belt put around him and Bruce Buffer screaming out his name. He lost out on all that. Do you think you would feel the same? If somebody just kind of like what they did with Ronda, right? They just go, oh, you're the champ, you know, that sort of thing. Would it feel the same?
I think he has a good right. He has every right to feel like the champ. It's not going to feel the same as some of the others have felt. But the minute you defend it once, that'll probably be his moment. So why not do it and get paid in your next fight with pay-per-view points, go for that title defense and feel it then? Because like you said, Ronda, I think Jose was supposed to fight Eric Coke, and then they brought him over to the UFC, and they just said, you're the champ, you know, which he was the best 145er in the world at the time. So, I think I don't have a problem with them. I mean, it's without playing the old, I told you so, you should have done, you know, without playing that whole thing, if they were to just say, okay, it turns out Habib's retired, our bad, Dustin's our number one guy, we're going to make him the champion, Yeah, but can you give that feeling to Dustin of accomplishing that? No, you can't. You know, that was taken away from him. He'll get it in his first title defense. But if I'm Dustin, I don't turn it down because now I'm the champ and now I can defend it. So when I defend it, that I'll have that feeling. It'll be a title defense and I will get paid with pay-per-view points.
I agree that he should do it. I'm just saying, would he feel that sense of satisfaction? Let's just say, you know, in that first title defense, he loses. Would he still feel like he went through that, like he accomplished that?
Yeah, because he beat the top guy at the time, which was McGregor. He just didn't go through the coronation part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he still would have been the number one guy because that I don't think anyone, like, let's say Habib had told Dana, "I'm retired, God damn it," you know. And Dana goes, "This is now for the title with 3 days to go." I don't think there's any other lightweights that'll win. How'd they get the spot? They were the one and two guys, both coming off wins. Gaethje couldn't say anything. He had just fought Habib. Tony couldn't say anything. He just lost to Oliveira. Oliveira couldn't say anything because beating Tony off a loss doesn't make you one of the top two or anything. Those guys were the top two. So, yeah, he should be okay with it. MMA fans should be okay with it. It's not ideal, but
okay.
Yeah. Kamaru Usman goes, he trips me out, man. Kamaru. He says, no one really stands out. Wait, what's a quote? I got it right here. Sorry, our internet went down today. No one really stands out after Burns. I don't know about that one. Welterweight's packed. Now there's no one on an 8-fight win streak, I suppose. You know, with an undefeated record or someone that can match his, you know, the one-loss record, that I'll grant him. But I don't know if you can just say there's no one there. If Leon Edwards wins his next fight, I think he's won 9 straight. He just hasn't beat those names at the top, like the Thompsons, Covingtons, Masvidals, or whatever. It can't be Masvidal because he just lost to Usman. it wouldn't be Burns because he would have just lost to Usman. Remember, I said if Usman gets past Burns. Covington had a nice streak until Usman. Then he came back and won once since. And he's got a nice record that's very comparable to Usman's. And he competed with Usman. Now, I think you would probably want maybe him to win one more and then fight Usman. But I don't think you can say, like, he's not there because he competed with Usman. That fight would sell, and it was very competitive. So I think you have Covington. I think there's a way to sell Edwards. Edwards just has had a little bit of bad luck with COVID affecting him, affecting his country, the situation, the timing. You know, he never got his Woodley fight. He turned down, I guess, the chance to fight Usman before Burns got it. So, I don't know, man. I think those two that kind of have a little bit of a, like, a, well, are you sure about that? You know, I'm not just a nobody either. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I kind of dig what he's saying because what I think he's saying is there's nobody left with any type of skill set that I haven't seen, right? Like, if you can get past some of Masvidal's boxing, that's about as good as it's going to get. If you can get past Colby's wrestling, that's pretty good. And he has. So, like, I mean, I think there's just nobody left that. You're right. Leon Edwards is a very tough cat, and he could catch him. And I don't think any one of us would be shocked. But I don't think he stands out over any of the other guys that he's already faced, right? So, I think what he means is, like, I've already played the number one and two, three ranked teams in the nation. I'm not scared about number seven, you know, like, not scared about Michigan coming to town, or no disrespect to Michigan, but, you know, that sort of thing. I understand that, but I, in this sport, especially the way things are going, fighters come and go so quickly, and they can, I mean, look at Chimaev, right? Like, how quickly he came onto the scene. There are definitely guys that could do something, but I understand where he's coming from.
If Chimaev can steamroll Edwards, I think we're all going to go, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But you know what? As a champion, like, if I were his manager, I would say, don't ever say that. Because basically what you're telling the nation is, hey, don't buy my pay-per-view because we already know what's going to happen. It's going to be boring. You know, like, I would probably never say that. I would probably try and make those guys sound meaner than they are. You know, try and sell that fight before it even gets signed.
Well, maybe. There's something to what you're saying, but a lot of guys say, this guy can't hold my jock, and it makes people want to buy it because they want to buy it to see you get knocked out because now you're getting too cocky. You know what I mean? But I don't know. The welterweight division is so stacked with talent, but a few of those guys, like Neil, took a loss. And he had a win streak going. Ponzinibbio finally, after 2 years, comes back. He took a loss. He had a win streak going. So a lot of those guys that were streaking, yeah, can't do nothing about it there. Paige VanZant goes, she just found out that her contract allows her to come back to MMA, even though she's debuting in bare-knuckle boxing this weekend. So she's stoked about it. Sounds like she's maybe getting itches, you know, to maybe come back, or she's already missing it. I mean, again, she debuts this February 5th. I think that's is it Friday, maybe? Knucklemania. I don't know how good it's going to go for Paige. I don't know what her opponent's like. I haven't really looked at all that. I do plan on watching it. I just don't remember Paige really having, like, great hands, you know. But again, depending on who your opponent is, she may look good on Friday. She may not. She's probably going to get paid well. But returning to MMA, I don't think it'll go well for her unless she goes back to strawweight. I just don't think she's got the height and the size to mess with the flyweights.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. Look where she's training, American Top Team. She's surrounded by badasses. So I can understand why she would get that itch again. But bare knuckle.
She did say that too.
Huh?
She did say that too, that American Top Team has given her a lot of confidence. It's, you know, the coaches or teammates, mm-hmm. that she's better than than she thought she was, you know. So that the vote of confidence has gone far there. But remember, Bellator has no strawweight, so she would be like Carrie-Anne Melendez, a strawweight competing at flyweight. And that's fine, but Juliana Velasquez is a big girl. Elimelee McFarland's the gatekeeper to get to Velasquez, though I feel like McFarland might be wrapping up her career soon. Nothing's impossible, but we'll see, you know.
But
bare knuckle first.
Bare knuckle first, but don't you feel like her popularity outside of combat sports has kind of fizzled out a little bit, right? Like, I mean, and I don't mean that in a bad way, and maybe I'm missing something, but I just thought Dancing with the Stars was probably as high as she was going to get. Maybe that would lead to like television or movies, but that hasn't really happened. So really, like, what else is there for her to capitalize outside of combat sports? Bare knuckle's great. I'm sure they're paying her very well, but eek, that is a brutal, brutal, brutal sport. I don't know how many of those she's going to want to do. And it's not like we could say, well, she's got knockout power, so she could get in and out of there. That's probably going the distance, and going the distance, only throwing your hands and throwing them unprotected. You're going to either break your hand or something's going to get cut on your face or something's going to get mangled. And I don't know if that's the best thing. And plus, you know, we've talked to a lot of fighters that said, I tried to prepare myself as best as I could, but when I got in there, I was like, holy crap, it's pretty nuts. No, like that might happen to her after one fight. She might just go, this ain't for me. But I definitely don't think we've seen the last of her in mixed martial arts.
She's got to win. If she wins, then maybe there's an alcohol sponsor, or then maybe there's another Sports Illustrated layout or something like that to keep her around. As far as acting, she's got a little charming personality, but I don't know if she can be like Carano or Rousey playing badasses. So she'll just have to be a cute, bubbly girl, and there's no shortage of that in Hollywood. So, yeah, she's just got to keep winning. And if she keeps winning, then maybe some opportunities will open up for her.
Yeah. Gina Carano in Star Wars completely shocked me. And but now, you know, she's kind of going through her own thing as well. So we'll see if she sticks around or not.
What's she going through?
She had some tweets. I want to say they were like political tweets. Don't quote me on it, but they did not go over well. So right now there's dueling hashtags. One is like save Carano and the other one's get rid of her. They want her out of Disney and Star Wars and all that.
Is that the Mandalorian or whatever?
Uh-huh. She's on that.
What is the Mandalorian? I don't know what that is.
In Star Wars, there's just an infinite amount of characters. And one of the popular characters is Boba Fett. He's a Mandalorian. So they did a show called The Mandalorian, which, by the way, I just saw somebody yesterday, it was a fighter, say that they go, I wasn't even like the biggest Star Wars fan, but I really, really liked that show. And it is really, really good. I loved it. It was incredible.
I should watch this.
You are like a different species. I don't know if you would. I'm pretty sure you'd be mad, especially not really knowing, but I could see somebody like Juliet. I think Juliet would like it.
Okay. James Vick, he fought at XMMA and it didn't go well for him. He suffered a second round TKO, and I was remembering that, what was it? I think 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago, we went on a military trip with him. And when he went with us, goes, he was 13-1, and it is XMMA. I was calling it XCMMA, but it's XMMA. He was 13-1 overall. He was ranked in the USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie rankings. He was 8-1 in the UFC. He had a five fight win streak at one point. Beneil Dariush was his loss. No, nothing wrong there. Dariush is one of the top guys as well. Then he had come back and won 3 in a row. So he was 8-1 in the UFC, 13-1 overall on a 3-5 win streak. I know this only because I introduced him like 20 times over 3 days and ranked. And he was just a killer. And even after we got back from the trip, goes, he defeated Francisco Ronaldo. So he had a 4-5 win streak 14-1. And since then, he's lost 5 in a row. And I feel so terrible for him because he was a really, really nice young fella. He's got a kid now, you know, he's a father, and I just hate to see him. And you know what? He also had other business ventures. I don't know that I want to see him continue to fight and lose the way he's been losing. He tried to move up the welterweight, and that's not working. He hasn't really done the switch of camps. Sometimes that might work. I mean, it worked for Alistair. But,
well, he goes to Thailand.
He does, but I think he always finishes up his camp with the same team. So I consider that just going out and getting training somewhere. But as far as like a head coach that maybe switches your game plan around, your approach, I don't know because I don't know if he was cornered by the same people for this fight or not. But I just saw the result and I just feel bad. I don't want him to fight anymore. I don't like seeing these results. And I just can't believe how quick it went the other direction.
Definitely a break is something that absolutely has to happen. And that's so tough to say because he just had somewhat of a break. And when you throw in COVID and all that, he's had time to rest. But you're right. I definitely don't want to see him fight anytime soon. He didn't get to that record by beating bums. He has some good wins in there. So you could tell he's a guy, he's a force to be reckoned with when everything's working for him. But right now things aren't working for him. So he's got to figure that out. And then it's going to be a while before he can put together some sort of streak that's going to make the UFC or Bellator want to take a chance on him.
Yeah. He, after he beat Trinaldo, he had the Gaethje fight. And that's basically what started Gaethje's run to the title. Then he went to a decision with Paul Felder. Hooker knocked him out. Nico Price, he was doing good in that. Remember the upkick? Mm-hmm. That was when he went to welterweight. And then this last one was a welterweight fight against a Bellator veteran. So, yeah, 5 in a row, 4 of them finishes, 2 of them straight KO punch knockouts. I don't know. A lot of people clicked on that story. I don't know if a lot of people are concerned like I am for James Vick or if they didn't like him. I remember he had one of those hashtag press conferences and he was brash, you know. But I remember the audience wasn't taking to him as much. So maybe he wasn't as liked as VGN goes. We like him.
I mean, I don't know. Like Nolan King, one of our coworkers, had tweeted something out about just how mean some people are, you know, when people are down, they just like to kick them. And that was one this weekend, James Vick. There was another one. But the subsequent comment from there, I can't remember who had it. Somebody said MMA fans are the best and worst fans wrapped into one. And that's probably true, man. I don't know that in any other sport they could be as brutal as they are. But then they're also so passionate, so it's really tough.
Yeah. I was – Boss Rudin was promoting something. It was, I think, a CBD. Anyway, I forget what it was. And he said, I'm not getting paid. I just love their stuff. Check it out. And all Luke Rockhold said was – oh, no, I know what it was. Sorry. Fucked up. It was a like a treadmill. It was a unique treadmill, but it was shaped differently, and it was for his knees because he has bad knees, he says. And he says, hey, check this out. I'm older and I have bad knees, but this works great for me. That's it. And Luke Rockhold, I think, was one of the first to post, and he like was supporting a fellow MMA comrade, you know. That looks cool, or I forget what he said. Man, the first comment that came in was, dude, that's not going to help your glass chin. I couldn't believe it. I was like, God almighty. You know, I don't know if Rockhold maybe cussed him out on the previous thread. I don't know. I doubt that, right? But I'm just thinking, I'm giving myself outs for humanity. What could this guy, what could have driven this guy to say that? You know what I mean? Like, whoo, man, I just thought, you are brutal, dude.
That's what's so crazy is, like, most of the comments that you see or read, I would say at least 90% of them are things people wouldn't tell you to your face, especially a fighter. You know what I mean?
But when fighters say that, hey, don't be saying anything unless you're going to say it. Don't expect that either. But then I think there's a level of decency where you can still bag someone, bust someone's chops, but not go that deep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I could see somebody. I mean, you'd still got to be kind of brash, but I could actually see somebody going, hey, you looked a little heavy in your last fight. Something like that, right? But I could never see another human being going up to another one and going, that ain't going to help your glass jaw. Like, for sure, you're going to get pummeled for something like that. It's just crazy, dude.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that one. That was something else. Anyway, sorry to stray off of the topic at hand. You know, this weekend we got 11 or 12 ranked fighters fighting at UFC. Did you remember? Did you do what I said? See what it was called? UFC Fight Night 184? Is that what it is?
This weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, it is one Fight Night 184. I bailed you out. Fight Night 184 has 11 or 12 ranked fighters. That is really, really good for a fight night.
That's good for anything. That'd be good for a pay-per-view, wouldn't it?
I've seen pay-per-views with less, so yeah.
Yeah, 11 or 12.
Sanhagen and Edgar's your co-main event, folks. And your main event is Volkov versus Overeem. I'm just praying that everybody gets to town and we don't have any of these COVID slip-ups. You know, it's not always the team. It can be a teammate or a coach, but that pulls the fighter. So let's hope that doesn't happen. But I couldn't believe it. We had like 3 weeks off after the end of the year. And I remember going, oh, I miss MMA. And we had the three shows in 8 days. And I wasn't ready for the break. We had a week off last week. And I'm excited for this week's, this Saturday's card.
Well, Sanhagen and Edgar is going to tell us a lot, right? It's going to tell us, is Sanhagen taking that next step? And on the flip side, it's going to tell us, is Frankie still around? Because Sanhagen's a tough out. That's not an easy fight. And I know it's sad to say that because Frankie, I feel like you could put him in any fight and he's competitive. But I think now we're starting to see just a little bit of what used to be that seemed untouchable. You know, it seemed like you could hit him with just about anything. And he might be dazed and he might do the chicken dance, but he'd fight back. He'd find a way to back into the fight. Now he's showing that sometimes isn't always all the case, and some of his speed has gone a little bit, right? So we just got to see what we have left here with Frankie Edgar and with Sanhagen. I think it'd be a really good win for him, no matter how he pulled it off. You know, Frankie Edgar's such a tough out that it doesn't matter if you win a decision over him or if you KO him or you submit him. It's a great win. So I think that one will tell a lot. And then the main event, I just don't see that lasting very long. Somebody's going to sleep in round one, in my opinion.
I agree. I think Sanhagen's already arrived, honestly. I think he could get the winner of Sterling and Jan. Mm-hmm. Maybe Sterling would be tougher because Sterling could go, I just beat you, you know. But I remember Sanhagen, I think, was even a favorite going into that fight. I couldn't believe that. But
beat him easily, too.
Yeah, I could see if Sanhagen were to because he's won since then, if he were to beat Edgar, but Jan wins, then he may have a shot at a title there. And then there's another bantamweight matchup too with Pedro Munhoz versus Jimmy Rivera. Now, I'm not saying one of those guys is ready just yet, but that bantamweight division is popping. Mm-hmm. So we got a quality co-main event, we got a quality main event, and you're right, that fight could end in the first round. Both Volkov and Overeem can put it on you and can take you out in one round. They're scheduled to go five. both Frankie and Overeem, I feel like goes just can't take a loss without. I don't think they get cut, but I just don't know that they can take a loss and ever be thought of as the possible
title championship contender?
Yeah, title contender. You know, because Frankie, he would only be 1-1 as a bantamweight, so I don't want to be too harsh, but there's just a lot of bantamweights out there. You know, so. I don't know. I don't know that if he takes a loss, the next one's for the title, or if he wins one, now he'd be 2-1 and the next one's for a title. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But you got to battle all those other guys like Rivera, Munoz, Garbrandt, I guess if he comes back, Moraes, you know, there's a lot of competition at 135 where they have credible resumes, even if they're coming off a loss. And then as far as Overeem, I mean, he's got like a 4-fight win streak. You got to be Volkov. Otherwise, I don't know. I mean, see, he could earn his way back to a Stipe fight because he hurt Stipe in their fight. And then Stipe came back and won. I think he could get back to an Ngannou fight, but Ngannou disposed of him so easily, man. I don't know. I mean, I guess part of the formula to get back is to win, and if you win 5 in a row, then maybe it doesn't matter who you've lost to already. He lost to both of them. I don't think he gets in front of John Jones, though. John Jones appears to be next, so then he would probably have to take one more fight. So he's always at that position where if you lose your next, it could all be over. But if you win, you're not necessarily next, and that's a terrible cycle to be stuck in.
I definitely don't see any of them getting cut, but if it's a knockout loss for either one of those guys, I think more so in Overeem's case, I do think a talk is had where the UFC kind of ushers them towards retirement, because Overeem, if you go over his record, dude, whew, he's got at least 9 or 10 really, really bad KOs. And that's not counting what people say happens in training rooms and all that. So you got that. And then Frankie, as of late, when you compound everything that's happened to him in his career, I think it's one where you have a good talk with either individual in a private room and start ushering them towards retirement.
Yeah, I should be more clear. With Edgar, he would still stay as a viable contender. He just wouldn't be a title contender because he's a bantamweight. He's fresh. He's 1-0. He beat Munoz, if I'm not mistaken. That was his drop to 35, and he shook off the zombie loss, which was at 45. That's the one that sent him to 135. He shook off the Max Holloway title fight because, again, that was at 45. So this was a new lease on life. They pay him well, so I think he still sticks around. But he's 39, folks, and I think Overeem's 40. So they're just older. How much longer do they want to do it if they're not going to be a title contender? Are they going to still do it and get paychecks slipped to them? Maybe. It all has to do with, yeah, how bad your loss is. And you know, but I think Overeem's been pretty clear about this is my title run, and if I don't win, then I'm off, then it's over. I don't know. I just get a little antsy because we had a, you know, 2020, aside from being a shitty year, we lost a lot of guys, man. We lost Cormier, Habib, Cejudo, Anderson. Well, Anderson to the UFC, but let's just say Anderson at that point. When Hooker started to take off those gloves, I was like, what are you doing? You know? I don't know. They're making a little bit better money, and I think we're finding out that a lot of the guys just they're more cognizant, you know, of the health of their brains. I suppose somebody could say, well, then why are you saying what are you doing to someone who's taking off their gloves if they just got their brain rattled by Michael Chandler? What I mean more than anything is just my emotion as a fan at the time. And I also know that it's them being – their worlds feel like they're collapsing, all right? And sometimes I feel like it's an emotional decision. Now, if you go back and talk it over with your team and decide that that's it. You know, I don't think Hooker showed up thinking, you know what, win or lose, this one's it for me. I don't think that was it. I think that he was just dejected. But still, these superstars that we lose, man, it's sad. And I don't want to lose Edgar or Overeem yet. So let's hope they compete. win or lose, and they get paid well. These are great paychecks that they pick up now, because the early struggle is not what it's not like what it is for these guys now. So I want them to make as much money as possible.
I'm not convinced that there wasn't more to what Dan Hooker was doing. Maybe he would have changed his mind or something, but just the way he was doing it to me seemed like he might have made a decision in his head and maybe ran out of time or something and now has time to think it over. But he just, the look on his face, the way he was moving, I think there was more to that, man. I really do.
Well, we'll see. Apparently, he did an interview with Submission Radio, which I haven't seen, but our colleague Farah Hanoon, I think, is doing a story that'll be on Junkie, giving credit to Submission Radio, his appearance on Submission Radio. We'll see. Maybe it's already up. I've been hitting refresh just to make sure that anything doesn't pop here in the next, well, 20 minutes. I was going to say during this hour that we're on, but I haven't seen anything in regards to that. But
what do you do with him now?
He's still out there in Abu Dhabi. I think he's with Tuivasa. And remember, New Zealand has strict protocols as far as when you can come back in. And he told Goza and I, when we interviewed him pre-fight, that he couldn't get back right away because getting back, you have to have a certain spot in one of the hotels where they quarantine you when you come back. So I think he wanted to help out a fellow, Tuivasa's an Aussie and Hooker's a Kiwi, but a fellow Oceander. What were you asking?
What do you do with him now? What do you do with Dan Hooker?
Hey, you lost two in a row. So did Ferguson. You two fight. Give me another one.
I like that one.
Told you, I could be a matchmaker, man, easily.
Yeah, I think that would make sense.
Everybody else, when they go, oh, what a card the matchmakers put together. Are you kidding me? There's a huge wall of superstars in every division. You know, it's not that hard.
I like the matchup. I think, what?
Give me another one.
Who just lost? What do you do with Conor McGregor?
Now's the time, kid. You got to fight Nate Diaz. Let's get that trilogy over with. And guess what else that saves us of? The BMF rematch between Diaz and Masvidal that wasn't close before it was stopped anyway by the doctor. So we don't need to see that. Diaz can work his way back to it, but we don't need to see it right away. That would save us to that because Diaz would be tied up with McGregor. They can figure it out and maybe even let him do it at 170 so it doesn't hurt his 55 stock.
I know. Well, what stock?
The tough one? The really, really tough one is who do you give to Poirier? I think Oliveira and Chandler are both viable candidates. There's the business decision and the right decision, but I don't think either one is a horrifically wrong decision. And then what do you do with the other guy? I guess the other guy you can give to Justin Gaethje. I know Gaethje's coming off a loss, but it's not like you can go – it's not like you can overlook the incredible career that he's had. Sometimes when you reach a certain level, you can't always go winners versus winners and losers versus losers. But at the same time, you also got Beneil Dariush and Carlos Fajeda coming up. I don't think they needed to fight again, but they are. You got RDA as well. We can't forget about him. So you could give Gaethje and McGregor. You could get them two to fight. But I think – I don't know. That helps McGregor's stock to get back to a title shot if he can beat Justin Gaethje. And the Diaz fight's just a big fight for both guys and the company, but it doesn't really help your title stock. Like, you don't become more of a contender by beating the other guy. Maybe for Diaz you do. If the fight's at 155, yeah.
Well,
but yeah.
There's no way on earth they will ever match up Conor McGregor and Justin Gaethje, or there's no way on the planet that they will match up Gaethje and Chandler. They don't want to lose out on that Chandler commodity. So if they don't give him that fight, they're going to have to give him somebody, maybe Diaz or someone like that, but I don't think they'd give him Gaethje. And then the whole, I just think they never wanted to do Conor and Gaethje. But on top of that, seeing what killed Conor this past fight, leg kicks, and then a TKO finish, dude, the last guy on the roster I'm looking at is Justin Gaethje. He will do what Dustin did times 100. I don't think you'll ever see Conor McGregor again if that happens. You think it's possible?
Well, but Justin gets KO. He's gotten KO too, though. Poirier beat Gaethje and Slater Alvarez, I think. So it's not like he's impervious. I mean, because he's reckless. He's by that I mean he's ballsy and a risk taker, and he's willing to trade two for one. Yes, he has great savage leg kicks. I don't think that we've seen as much of the calf variety as we have the upper leg variety, but that doesn't mean he can't kick you in the calf either. So yeah, I get what you're saying. Power in his hands, leg kicks, but one thing you can't take away from McGregor is that powerful left hand touched Dustin Poirier's jaw. Mm-hmm. So you got to give credit to his accuracy, his power, and Poirier's ability to take a punch. But that's the type of punch that could easily just put any of the other lightweights out too. I don't know. I think it'd be very, very competitive. I don't ask me to pick a winner right now. But I don't know that it'd be a blowout either way. I think it'd be a good competitive fight. I don't think you could say Poirier versus McGregor was a blowout because McGregor won round one and he connected a lot. It's just right. Poirier came back and he beat him using a few more tools other than just hands. You know, he finished him with hands, but the leg kicks contributed, and the takedown in round one, I think, also put something in Connor's head, you know, that he had to worry about. So, I don't know. I think it'd be competitive.
All right, I'll give you that.
It's a great division. It's a great division with a lot of possibilities. But the first thing they got to figure out is, Khabib, what are we waiting for, you know? They already chatted, like, all right, just take it away. The other guy, the other big ticket is lost, you know. So let Khabib retire. In fact, the sooner he retires, the sooner he won't be champion, and maybe the sooner he'll want to be champion again because that itch we were talking about, you know, earlier. Like, look at this guy walking around with my belt. Who does he think he is, you know? I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, that might be a possibility. So respect his decision, take away the belt, figure out what you're going to do. I don't know if they're going to go, it's Poirier, everybody. I don't know if they're going to do that. I doubt it. I think they're going to say, for the vacant title, it's Poirier versus, and then they're going to piss one of the two guys off, either Oliveira and Chandler. And then the other guy's going to get someone else. I don't know who, maybe RDA. Can't forget about RDA. Can't forget about Dariush and Fajardo winner. Can't forget about Justin Gaethje. I think Ferguson and Hooker really, really make sense, honestly. And I don't think we need to see it right away. I'm talking about like maybe June. Both guys can definitely relax a little bit. But yeah.
I like that fight, though. I really do. Stylistically, I think it would be fun. And it kind of makes sense where both guys are right now.
Paul Felder still hasn't officially hung them up. Aya Quinta's dangling out there as well. And then you got your Drew Dobers of the world, Makachev, the other guys I mentioned. I'm sure Kevin Lee's going to make his return at some point. I hate to always say it, but all I know about Gregor Gillespie is he loves to fish. So I just say he's fishing somewhere. There's got to be the 2021 boats that are coming out, right?
Well, he hasn't fought since the Kevin Lee knockout, right? Yeah, I mean, look what Kevin Lee's been since then.
That dude, that was – you know what? No. Buckley's was pretty amazing. But if not, Kevin Lee's knockout of Gregor Gillespie was, I mean, one of the most violent ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not the strike, the sound, but Gillespie and the way he shut down as he was a man that was standing straight up and then did like, I mean, the whole timber. There wasn't a chicken leg. There wasn't like, you know, falling around into the ref's hands. It was straight down. Like, I just remember going, wow, like, that was something else. I don't even know if it was up for KO of the year. I'd have to go back and look at the World MMA Awards. What was it in 2020 or was it the year before?
It was the year before, but it was vicious. That's the thing. Like, it Buckley's is a thing of beauty, and it's something that you'll probably never even see again, I doubt. But what Kevin Lee's KO was just vicious and nasty.
It was November 2, 2019. But it still would have been up for World MMA Awards because World MMA Awards had this whole These are the 2019 and half of 2020 awards, I believe is what they called it. So I don't know what they're going to do for next year, if they're just going to do a half year or if they're going to do half of 20 and all of 21 and then catch up. Because Rob Hewitt, their CEO, he wants the damn show. You know, I don't think – I mean, we saw something on CBS and a few people were able to show up and do whatever. Still disappointed Dana White didn't show. He wants the actual show itself. And this pandemic is still here. I don't know if we're going to have International Fight Week. I don't know if we're going to have, you know, all the festivities revolving around International Fight Week, like the Hall of Fame. Why didn't they just have a – I think they could have a Hall of Fame without fans, couldn't they? Why didn't they have that? That's not fair to those guys and gals. If they're deserving now, they're deserving now. Imagine if something happened and they weren't able to appreciate it. Like, God forbid, one of them was taken away from us and they weren't able to experience that. That would suck. Posthumous. What do they call it? Posthumously, we were going to award it to them. Let's do it. Let's run it.
I think part of what makes you feel good is just somebody saying you're great, but it happening around greatness, seeing your peers around you and all that. I think that's part of it.
I don't think the UFC is there yet. I don't know if the UFC is there yet. I don't know if they have some beautiful cocktail behind the curtains and they're all wearing their jackets or rings or whatever and commiserating. I haven't seen that. I see that in the NFL. But I haven't seen the UFC's version or the MMA version of just that. But, you know, look, I don't know. We almost lost Don Fry a few years ago, and that moment meant a lot to him when he finally did get it. But he was almost one of those guys that got it post. Here, this is what I love about dictionary.com. They'll actually say it. Watch. Post. There's a pronunciation. No, actually, it's post, I think. Post. Humorously or something like that. You know what I'm talking about when someone dies?
Yeah.
And they give an award. Posthumously, watch. I think it's posthumously goes. Listen. Here we go.
Posthumously.
Yeah, posthumously. Yeah, I don't think anybody would want to get it that way. I think you want to get it. So the World MMA Awards is a little bit different, but I think you could get up there, give a speech, and it could be televised on the UFC Fight Pass. I think it'd be cool. And then guess what? The next time we have a live event, then they can go there and take a picture or whatever. But I think if somebody deserves it, give it to them. No,
I disagree. I was at, I think the last one they did, and it did feel kind of special to see the people out there. And I don't remember which one it was, but I remember Art Davey just loving every second of it. Yeah, I think I would want fans there.
All right. You're not wrong. That's a beautiful thing, too. But I don't want to wait. I don't want 2 years of no Hall of Fame. Do you think the pandemic, at the pace it's at, will allow us to have a Hall of Fame ceremony in July?
Possibly, because you don't need to have 20,000 screaming fans, right? I mean, right now, I think in Vegas, you can have up to 4,000, I think. I mean, that's more than I think what they've ever had, right?
Separated with masks. I don't know, man. Maybe. We'll see. GSP was going to be one of them. Mark Ratner was going to be one of them. Actually, Ratner was only recently told he was going to get it. So he wasn't even going to be for the class of 2021. He recently was told at the end of 2020. So maybe they're just preparing for the 2021 and they'll double up or triple up or whatever. You know what I mean? Ratner definitely deserves it. Have you talked to Ratner lately?
I haven't, no.
I hope they protect him more than anybody over there at the UFC.
I know.
I wonder if he got his shot.
I think he had to have, right? Given age and then just given, like, who he is. He's such a good guy that, you know how, like, if you're a celebrity or something, maybe you make an extra call or whatever. I think in Mark Ratner's case, I don't even think he asks. I think they make that call. Like, hey, we should call Mark. That's how much people love that guy. So I think he should be good.
Did you hear about that, by the way? Celebrities that are paying to cut the line?
Mm-hmm. But they cut an end to that pretty quickly, didn't they?
Yeah. That's something else, man. Paradigm Sports. They are basically telling anybody that hangs out with Senator Pacquiao, a.k.a. Manny Pacquiao, do not speak on behalf of Manny Pacquiao. We have the exclusive right to speak to, about Pacquiao and anything that having to do with Manny Pacquiao's boxing career. It was Adi Attar, who manages Manny Pacquiao, put out a he put a post or press release or something like that. It says, the boxing industry has a history of shady characters being involved. These individuals introduce confusion and spread false rumors slowly for their own interests. Unfortunately, this only ends up hurting the fighters. It has come to our attention that some of these individuals are once again spreading false and inaccurate rumors that are self-serving without the authority of Senator Pacquiao or Paradigm Sports. Senator Pacquiao engaged Paradigm Sports as his exclusive representatives last year because he wants to close out the final chapters of his historic boxing career in a meaningful way. No one outside of Paradigm Sports is involved in any way with the management of Senator Pacquiao's boxing career at this time. Anyone falsely representing themselves as Senator Pacquiao's manager or representative as it relates to the remaining fight career may face legal repercussions. He goes on and on. That Pacquiao, I think what basically what they're trying to say is Pacquiao McGregor can still happen.
Oh, but I mean, he's got Ryan Garcia, right? For sure.
Pacquiao?
Yeah, I think he's fighting Ryan Garcia.
I don't know. But what happened was, let's see here. I read it. Somebody that was part of, says the following day, news emerged that stating that Pacquiao was no longer interested in the McGregor matchup, with the president of Manny Pacquiao Promotions, Sean Gibbons, reportedly telling UK newspaper The Sun, quote, I think the demand for the fight is not there presently. So I think he's kind of telling them, hey, back off.
Well, I mean,
now remember, Paradigm manages both Pacquiao and McGregor. So I think if anybody would know, it's Adi. Hey, Pac, you still want to fight the Irishman? Yeah. How about you, Connor? You still, yeah. So I think he would know if his two guys want to fight each other. Now, whether they can, that's a whole different thing because the UFC would have to be a part of that. And who knows if, you know, what the UFC's got planned for Conor McGregor. But part of Kavanaugh's thing was, if they're gonna not going to let us do the trilogy with Dustin for the title, then let us box. So see how dots are kind of connected a little?
But, I mean, all right. Is Conor going to beat Manny Pacquiao? I think he had a better chance of beating Floyd than he did Manny. I think Manny's going to take it to him. So on top of everything that he's been through, now you're going to add what would potentially be another TKO loss. That ain't good, man. That ain't going to help. I mean, that's just cashing in a check at that point. It really is. And when he says, like, there's not interest, I thought he meant, like, the public. I thought the public would definitely lose interest, especially, I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but, like, isn't the first thing you say, man, he got outboxed by Dustin Poirier in MMA. Like, how is he going to outbox somebody in boxing, especially after what we saw with Floyd? Like,
I think the counter will be the leg kick, man. The leg kick. He had a dead leg. Otherwise, he's still in the fight. He had won the first round. He was testing Dustin's chin. You know, I don't know. Manny can't throw those leg kicks. I get it. He can't beat Manny in boxing. And he shouldn't fight Poirier for the title. For part three. At some point, they should fight, but not for the title. I do want to see part three against him and against Diaz, but I don't want to see it immediately for the title. Now, Conor's such a big name that all Conor has to do is be one guy, and he possibly could be back in the title hunt. That I believe in because the UFC's proven that. But you can't put him in there off of a loss. I don't care how big that trilogy is. You just can't. That's why the UFC couldn't – well, that and Habib's reluctance, but that's why the UFC couldn't force feed us Habib versus McGregor Part 2. Now, what they should have done was after he beat Cerrone, they should have said, you see, he beat him. But they couldn't convince – Habib otherwise. Habib wanted to fight first Ferguson. That fell through. Then he fought Gaethje, and then he retired. You know, his father passed away, so you just got to accept that. But if you want McGregor to fight for the UFC title, he's got to beat somebody. If it's a big name like Gaethje, he might be back in the running, especially if Poirier can fight and win too. If you want him versus Pacquiao, I think you could do that anytime. I don't think it has to be off of a win or a loss because there's a bunch of people out there that are entertained by spectacles. That's a spectacle fight. You know, it doesn't matter who's winning or who's losing. It's just two big names. It'll sell some pay-per-views. They'll make some money. I don't think it'll be as big as Floyd and Connor, because that was Connor coming off as the champ, I think. I don't even know if he had relinquished one of the belts. And that was Floyd, obviously, undefeated, going for 15-0. So it's not going to get to that level. But will it make some money? Yeah. Will it make enough money that the UFC can get their piece of the pie? Perhaps.
Plus, we've all learned our lesson. Some of us.
What's that?
It was a waste of money. It was a $100 pay-per-view, wasn't it?
I think so. The one thing I can appreciate, though, I thought Connor obviously won the battle of the trash talk. I didn't think Floyd got dominated, but I think Connor just probably had more of the bags, right? But when Floyd said Forum Voltron and all those big dudes, including good friend of the show, Greg LaRosa and Jizzy Mack, they got off their stools or whatever and then got around McGregor. And McGregor's only crew, I think, was Owen Roddy and Artem. And no disrespect there. They were just outgunned and outsized. But as all that happened, did you see Floyd sneak out of there? And he was out there and he was talking to the audience while in the back, everybody was sorting out and pushing and shoving and getting out of the way or whatever. But the way Floyd snuck out of that was pretty cool, because McGregor didn't expect it. And I know there was the whole no touching rule and we can't get into it. So I don't think they thought I'm about to get jumped or anything, but that's how it looked and that's how it was perceived. I just thought it was very creative. Form Voltron. And then they just put this big old wall, man, and Connor got swallowed. I couldn't even see Connor. And then Floyd slipped out of there like one of those bonsai pipeline surfers, you know, like when they're surfing and all of a sudden the big lip, the wave, the tube or whatever covers them up and you're like, oh man, this guy's gonna get wiped out. Holy shit. And they pop out at the very end. That was Floyd.
Yeah.
Hilarious. They can never be replicated. That was special. Pacquiao and McGregor would be big, but that one needs to be in front of fans too. That's a 2022 fight or a late 2021 fight. Let them concentrate each on their boxing careers. Ryan Garcia's a promising up-and-comer. I shouldn't even call him that because I think he's already either 21-22-0 or 21-0. And Pacquiao is a legend. And McGregor, like I say, he's never far away from a title shot. You give him a great, great fighter like Gaethje, he's probably back in. Otherwise, he may need two fights like what they did, you know, in this instance. Cerrone and Poirier, had he won that, I guess the next one would have been for a title. I mean, I don't know. But I was happy that Audie kind of checked somebody from the boxing scene, because a lot of people like to act like, you know, I know what's going on or whatever. And then he was instantly saying, I'm his manager. Shut the fuck up. I may sue your ass. Anyway, with that, folks, we're going to bow out. We got our show on Thursday where we'll talk a little bit more about UFC Fight Night 184 with Alexander Volkov and Alistair Overeem at the top of the bill. You got Corey Sandhagen versus Frankie Edgar. We also have Jimmy Rivera versus Pedro Munhoz. Belal Muhammad, he was rebooked to fight Diego Lima. He's on this fight card as well. Alexa Grasso, she's mixing it up with DC Barber. Barber hasn't fought since she messed up her knee when she lost to Roxanne Modafferi. Grasso just moved up to 125, and she got a win. So these are flyweights that'll be doing the thing there. But like I say, there's some really, really good fights on this fight card. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Thursday. We'll see if we can get an update on some of these news stories, especially the mess at lightweight. What is next? Tuesday's the UFC's matchmaker meetings. So hopefully they address it. What are we doing with Habib? Who's next? I guess there's a long shot to go this theory. Could they just say, we fucked up. Poirier's the champ. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Thank you very much, folks, for hanging out with us today. And every Thursday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, live here on Sportscaster. Goes, I want to give it one more refresh here before I say my final goodbye. And no, I don't have anything to share. I thought there might be one other thing then to share relevant to us on Sportscaster, but no, not yet. So maybe more on that on Thursday. Folks, go out there, enjoy your day, and always be a champion.